the ball games to watch. And,
Can't ball games to watch.
Okay, it is now 7:01. We're going to call the meeting to order, and we'll stand for a pledge of allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Wiegold.
Here.
Warwick, here. Romine.
Here.
Henrod, here. Simpson.
Here.
In your packet, so to speak, or mini computer, there's the minutes from the last meeting. Is anybody any corrections or any problems?
I have two for the mayor. On the very first page under that joint resolution 2014-1, he said that Larwell and South Lily is not supposed to be in there.
Okay.
So I have corrected.
Any other? Not hearing any, can I have a motion?
I make a motion we approve the minutes with the corrections that Rosie mentioned.
Second.
I have a motion by Ben, seconded by Nicole. All those in favor, show a sign. All those against, same. And we have one abstention. Next up is the Animal Control Ordinance 2014-1 Amendment. This is the first reading. I thought we had that last time.
We postponed it.
Okay, Rosie, could I
need a motion?
I need to have a motion to have be read by title only.
Make a motion we read Ordinance 2014-1 by title only.
Second.
Motion by Ben, seconded by Jackie. All those in favor, show a sign. All those opposed, be passed unanimously. Those are please read by title only.
Ordinance 2014-1, an ordinance restating and amending Chapter 90, Animals of Text, of Title 9 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana. You don't want me to read the whole thing?
No.
Okay.
No. By title only.
Title only, that's fine.
You can if you want to.
We addressed the situations that was brought up in our last meeting. They were redlined this time, I believe. Mm-hmm. Does anybody have any questions or concerns about this?
I apologize, I didn't have a chance to read this version of it. How did you end up addressing the humane shelter?
If you go to, I think I put it in two places. If you go under definitions, page 7.
Okay.
So that is one area. So I addressed an animal control agency, which is defined, would also be a shelter, shall not be completely exempt from a violation of F here in this definition if the nuisance creating a violation of F is not addressed by the agency to the satisfaction of the animal control. So in other words, if they don't address the dog barking, then they could be held in violation.
Okay.
I mean, that's, and then I think, let me go down here. I unfortunately did not bring my hard copy, so I'm having to look.
Page 15 is the second place it's addressed.
Okay, well, then.
Yeah. So, yeah, it says the section applies to households and not to an animal shelter, veterinary office, or hospital, pet store, or other legally operated and licensed animal-related businesses.
Yeah, and I sort of, as I was sort of reading through things, I sort of took that upon myself to change that. Because as I was reading through it, I was like, you know, wait a minute, I better sort of take a look at that. But then, it seemed like there was one other place.
There it is.
Yeah. Yep, that's what she was talking about. I think page 24, the permit exemptions.
Mm-hmm. Unless otherwise addressed in this chapter. So that's how I,
okay,
that's how I did it.
I'm good with that.
Any other questions or concerns? Can I have a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve Animal Control Ordinance 2014-1 on first reading.
I second.
Okay, I have a motion to approve by Ben, seconded by Mr. Simpson. All those in favor, raise your sign. Those opposed? All passed unanimously. See, next up, Ordinance 2014-2, Pre-Treatment of Pollutants, first reading. Is this something Mike can give us some information on, please?
What this is just amending our local ordinance for the limits that the industries have to follow. The state, in our new permit that we were issued last year, lowered our limits for copper and cyanide because we have the potential to pollute downstream users, which would be the city of Logansport, which draws their water, drinking water, off the river, which we contribute to the Blue River, which goes to the Eel, which travels on downline. So there is a potential there. We never have, but there is a potential to pollute. So therefore, they lowered our limits on some of the testing that they done that I wasn't aware of, but they sampled the river and done testing and everything like that, and came up with new limits for us that we have to follow, so therefore we have to pass them on to our industrial customers so we stay in compliance. And that's just basically what this is, that we worked on this quite a while. It's already been approved by IDEM. I just need to have it approved by a council that we made the amendment changes, and then send them a signed copy, and then we'll notify our industrial customers, and we usually give them anywhere from 60 to 90 days when we make a change. So if they need to change their process somehow to meet the limits, it gives them time. It just doesn't, you know, it's not an overnight thing.
So do we have any industrial customers that you think this is
that will affect
to any extent, or
no, I don't believe so. I think they're all going to be able to meet it.
Okay.
It's just they'll have to watch it a little more closer and come up with a plan that, you know, if it would happen to elevate on, that they have to address it. And we wouldn't necessarily do anything the first time we give them a chance. We have a couple that we've already, they've had some issues and they're having trouble with it. We give them a couple times to address the issue and they haven't, so therefore we surcharge them monthly now as they're over. And as that comes down, they work that problem out, then that surcharge obviously will go away once they go into compliance. And there isn't any of them that's just doing it, you know, and just paying the surcharge because they want to.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually trying to
correct
their problems.
Work. Yeah.
Right. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I kind of had the cart before the horse for an explanation prior to asking for a written by title only. So, Rosie, I need to have a motion for this ordinance to be read by title only.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Nicole, seconded by Ben. Rosie, please read ordinance number 2014-2 by title only.
Ordinance 2014-2, an ordinance amending Chapter 55, pre-treatment of pollutants of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
All right, thank you. Now, yes, Mike.
I'm just going to add that basically when we went through and where our limits were before, we about 50% less is where we set them. And we checked with other communities to see where they are at on these limits and done some research before we came up with these. So, but I don't think anybody's going to have any issues.
Okay.
Any other questions or concerns? And if you want to, we can have a motion to.
I move that we approve ordinance 2014-2.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Bill, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion? All those in favor show sign. All those against, approved unanimously. Move to the next. See what we got on there. Oh, we're all ready to department reports.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead. It says Mike was at the floor there for a little bit. Let's go ahead and relate them how it again.
Yeah, to start off, everybody's aware that we've had our boiler down for almost going on 2 months now. We did get our receiver parts. They did start working on it last week. The problem that we've run into, they were all the way up. They pressure tested it. We actually filled it with water yesterday, turned it on, brought it up to pressurize it, basically to hydro test it, the water tubes. And the smaller tubes on the firing side of it, where they thought they were going to find some leaks, none of them leaked. There wasn't any leaks there at all. But it still had water running out the bottom. So the repairs that they made solved those water leaks. Our smaller tubes in there, the heating tubes, they all turned out great, so there was no issues there. The thing was, they came up with, on the vessel itself inside, the outside, how it just looks like a square box. And then on the inside, it's a tank, basically, that holds water. It's on the inside. And what they done is they thought where it was leaking, they actually cut a hole through the side of it today, torched it out a square hole in it, and found a leak or a crack along a well at about 6 to 8 inches long. And that's what they thought the problem would be. So they spent that cleaning that up today, grinding that out, and we'll re-weld that so it have 100% penetration from one side to the other. Fill that in, and then we'll refill it with water tomorrow and pressurize it again to make sure that they've got them all. And if that's the case, then hopefully we'll have it fired back up and running by the end of the day tomorrow. But they had to wait on a part that was had a defect in it. It broke when they went to put it back on. It was from when it was manufactured. So they're going to take that back, repair it, and have it in stock. And then some of the other things that they made to do this, they're going to leave with us. So if they have to come back in, we've already have the parts to seal off the tube so they can pressure test it. So, and when we get done with this, this is something I'm going to sit down with them and try to come up and work out a negotiated price on something that we can come in on a yearly maintenance where they can come in and look at this. It's my understanding that we have to have our boiler inspected every 2 years because it's a low pressure boiler, so it's only inspected every 2 years. The inspector that comes in can require us to open up both ends of this boiler, drain it, open it up so they can do inspections on the inside. And we have never been asked to do that. So the boiler inspector actually happened to be in close today, and they contacted him, the company did. And he came in and done an inspection since everything was opened up, and he looked at it and inspected it today. So we'll be good after today. The annual sludge report to the EPA, I've sent that in. I prepared that, sent it in. Instead of going to Chicago, it is now sent to Lenexa, Kansas. I wasn't sure because they used to email the report or send the reports, and then they were online. And this year I didn't get anything but a card telling me where I need to send the report. So I contacted them, you know, where do I get my forms to fill out, and I was told that there's no... I've shared this with the mayor. No national forms or anything for a sludge report to actually send in, so whatever format I wanted to use, I could. So I used last year's report that says EPA form at the bottom and sent that in to them, but there was no form, but they have a form because I used last year's. But the power outage, we got through that. We had 10 stations go down from that. They were all on RMC. My guy's done a great job on that. They went out, turned everything off, and as they came back online and had, you know, we knew they had that power back, they went back and turned everything back on. We had one station that we had spend a little extra time getting it back up and running, but other than that, we didn't have any issues. We didn't have any that overflowed or anything, so that was great. And they had a rooftop unit heater go down Friday. And Flotek was in, looked at that, and ordered a new board for that. So hopefully that will be in sometime this week, and we'll get that repaired too. That's all I have, unless you got questions.
Thank you. Any questions?
So you have generators at all the substations, or not substations,
no.
But no?
They have generator hookups on a lot of them, but mm-hmm. No generator.
Okay.
The best we can do, you know, 10 for 10 of them to go down at one time is it doesn't happen very
right,
often.
Right, yeah.
You're screwed. You're in trouble at that point, so you just kind of pick and choose. And what we would do, and what we've done in the past, if we have a station that goes down, some of them we have a bypass in now, and whenever I had to redo a station or have a new station put in, it has to have a bypass pumping set up on it. We can take our diesel pump, set it up, and bypass around the station. But we only have one pump. So which station do you choose to bypass on? Mm-hmm. If it's just one, you know, it's not a big deal. If it has 10, you know. The other option is to have a company come in and suck out the wet wells out and haul it to the treatment plant, dump it, and then go back and just keep hitting random ones to try to keep up with it. And then obviously if it does hit the ground, I have reports or form that I fill out and fax to the state to notify them. Within 24 hours, I have to notify them of the situation, which we did not have to do, so that was nice.
Any other questions?
Jeff? I might add, too, that places like SDI that are high-flow customers will throttle back their discharge, too.
Yes, we have. They actually held all their flow for us during that time period.
So that
they're able to do that.
That helps a lot. I didn't want to step on
you. Oh, no, before. No.
The Columbia City Main Street Association has now most recently met and approved their first major event, which is the 3-on-3 basketball tournament. I think I might have mentioned it as maybe going to happen at our retreat. Now it's for sure, and we're in the full stages of that. It's going to be June 21st. And it's going to be basically all day, and then that evening we're going to have a concert on the square, one of four that we've committed to as an organization. I met yesterday with the mayor and Martha in the preliminary stages of the fall festival, which at this point looks like it'll probably be October 25th, but we're not really sure on that. This is one of those events that was at the park the last couple of years. Earlier in the fall didn't work out very well for a number of reasons, so we'll be taking that on in the downtown. Last week, the Board of Works in Committee met to review the inspection service proposals for the stormwater project. We've narrowed it down to two, and hopefully either the end of this week or next week, we'll sit back down and score those and then award that project, the inspection part of it. Tied in with that, I want to thank Ben and Dan for being a part of the Common Construction Wage hearing today. The adoption of the wages did take place. Same outcome as in the fall. The only problem is the Department of Labor only honors those for 3 months, and we didn't get the project let in that 3-month period. So had to do it again, virtually the same thing, same exact scales. Marcia and I have been working on a major overhaul, I call it a major overhaul, on the tax abatement process. And what we're hopeful of is that we can meld both the county's and the city's application process into one, or if not one, at least have a mirror each other. So we're a lot closer in the process. So working on that. Then I was really excited. I this afternoon got an email from IDEM approving my IDDE, which was Illicit Discharge Detection and Elimination Audit from last September. So I finally got notice of sufficiency today, so they're right on it.
You're the only person I know that's excited about an email from IDEM.
That was a little title check. The auditor said that I would have the results in like 2 weeks. So, yeah, give or take. And then I also received word at the same time that my five-year NPDS permit that was supposed to be effective November 3rd of last year was also approved. So I guess kudos to, it's not me, it's a lot of it's John Goetz and the guys sitting here. So that's all I've got.
Okay, thanks. Long-term control plan? Did you want to talk about that anymore? Long-term control plan, letting the...
I guess that was good news tonight, too.
Yeah.
The committee that had interviewed the long-term control plan consultants made a recommendation to the Board of Works tonight, which was approved to move forward with United Consulting to develop a scope and a fee structure and present it back to the Board of Works in the near future.
That was really a neat process. I never got to set up anything like that before, but to hear the different perspectives of, or ideas of how to approach, you know, our situation is rather unique. I thought that was a very nice, neat thing to be a part of. I'm pretty excited to be a part of it. Now it's even more exciting to see what we're going to come up with. that project's actually moving, and it's going to be in the best interest of our constituents, our utility users. So thanks again for all the work that you put in on that, because that was quite deep. It really was. So thanks. Tim?
Yes. Tomorrow I have a meeting with some members of the Main Street organization for the 3-on-3 basketball tournament.
I heard about that.
To kind of lock in the street closing permit that we can give to the Board of Works. So work on that tomorrow. Our three new cars are in at our Daniels in Fort Wayne. So weather permitting, we hope to pick those up this week. They've been there for 2 weeks. We haven't had a chance to pick them up yet because of all the weather. So we're hoping to get them picked up this week, and we'll take them to Pierston to get all the equipment put in those cars. We're going to start working on a transition with the sergeants. They're going to move into the detective office where Chip is right now. So the detectives and sergeants will all be in one room. And the room at the sergeants room right now, we're going to kind of transition that into a meeting room, conference room. We're going to move a big table in there so we can have shift meetings in there. If guys are doing investigations, but I need to talk with groups of people or maybe with families, they can sit in there. So we're going to work on that coming up soon. Officers have been doing a great job. They've been really busy with the weather. Every time we have one of these snow events, they have to go around and tag the vehicles that haven't moved. They're snowed in. They've done a great job. But the response from the public has been very good as well. Everybody's got their vehicles moved, so telling his guys can get down and get the streets cleaned out. They've also been busy helping with the downtown piles, just helping get things moved out of the way so we can get things cleaned up. Killing his guys to get things cleaned up. We've received 23 applications for the new position. So the written test will be on March 1st. And then depending on who passes the written test, they will move on to the physical agility. So we'll have that whole process done hopefully by early April. And we're also working on giving the lobby out here a little bit of a facelift. So you see we're going to do some painting out there and put some new pictures and things up. So hopefully we get that done in the next couple weeks.
Any questions, Tim? Sean?
Well, it's still been kind of slow at our department. Obviously, it's not doing a lot of digging or anything like that with the services going in this time of year, but with the temperatures and things, we've been trying to help Kelly out as much as we can with the snow removal. We worked on some street lights and our normal allotment of reeds and reconnects and those type of things. We did have disconnects last week, one day later than planned, which really cut our numbers down a lot, which is always nice. We had a safety meeting this week. A little bit about the outage that RMC experienced. We obviously had no outage at all, but we did have some power
interruption, just some flickering in the morning. Basically, that's all from the INM or AEP, whichever you'd like to call them, feed. Our equipment operated properly. All of our the city's equipment and INM's equipment that feeds us operated properly. The RMCs had the issue, and theirs did not. So we're very fortunate there. Also, we hired two new employees. They both accepted. They will begin on February 24th. So we're excited to bring them on and start getting them in the apprenticeship program. And I'll send out emails and introduce them as they come on. We did have one partial power issue today. With it being cold, it increases the amount of power people are using. The amperage goes up. It really sometimes exposes your weak points. And we had just one house had one wire burn off today, so it was a quick fix. And so we've been very fortunate. And we're hopefully we can continue to be fortunate moving forward and hope for warmer weather. That's pretty much it.
Questions, Sean? Mike?
Last week, we got a couple hundred feet of new main in out of the Eagle Glen project. There's 100 feet left to go. It should all be in by end of this week. And then we'll have water in it. Hopefully, all the testing will be done on most of that on the north side of the river by end of next week. And then we'll just start on the last section after that. We've been 4 days now, two groups, trying to clean around hydrants. Probably two-thirds of them might be showing. There's no way we're going to get them all. It's just too time-consuming and everything, but I guess the newspaper's not here to say anything about, you know, I know everybody's been told to clean around them, but some of them just have piles dumped right on top of them and everything. So, what's showing's there. Once we go back to laying pipe, we'll quit uncovering hydrants. We've done some work on some chlorine booster pumps and stuff at the plant, and been thawing out a few meters. We probably had 8 or 10 frozen meters. A couple of them been in the same places where they don't leave it run. We told them to leave it run. We adjust the bill back because right now, under the alleys, roads, and everything, there's close to 3 feet of frost. So it's just getting to the point where probably next month or so we'll have some frozen meters to deal with. It's not in a yard covered with snow, and that's about it.
All right, any questions of Mike? Kelly?
I'm really excited. Hasn't snowed for 2 days. Things are looking up. But, you know, if there's warm temperatures in the forecast, I mean, I see some 40-degree temps coming and high 30s, so now we got to shift gears and start thinking about catch basins, things thawing out, and ice being over them. So hopefully tomorrow we're going to start getting these piles moved uptown, and we're going to take them down to the original dump site. I want to say this over here, the Eagles lot was more of a staging area. We're going to try to get most of that out of there too, and get it down to where it needs to be. We'll see how that works out, but we'll try to get it taken care of. Again, you know, just group effort, you know, departments. I'm just proud to be, you know, part of a team that works together good. You know, we get help whenever we, you know, Mike Cook came in Sunday and plowed alleys for us again. Mike's helped several times. You know, Sean's guys help with cul-de-sacs and the park guys, you know. The police department's been a huge help this year with snow removal, shutting off the streets. So I don't want that to go unnoticed because it's such a huge part of the success I think we have in making a successful event. So thanks again to them guys. Next probably meeting I'll be down in Indy with my supervisor doing some training down there, attending classes and seminars. So that's about all I have at this point.
How's your supplies holding up?
We're good. I got 360 ton of salt ore. It hasn't came yet, so we still got salt and sand mixed in the building. Probably, I'd say probably a couple hundred ton of of salt in there, and probably about 150 ton of mixed. So 360 ton of salt we're going to get should ensure us to get through in the next year.
So are we going to need to make an additional appropriation for your department at some point in time?
I would say probably wage for overtime. We might want to consider that. That and fuel. Fuel took a big hit this year.
A lot of it's going to depend, too, if we get our money back from the EMA.
Okay.
IDEM or wherever they send. Now, I'm not going to mention IDEM, but wherever they send it. I forget who it is. But she's got, we had over $100,000 in expense.
Okay.
Which a lot of it is the trucks and the wages and the fuel. So if we get quite a bit of that, it's like an 80-20.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to put it back in his budget. But just keep your fingers crossed.
Okay.
Well, like I say, thanks again to all of the departments, because whenever anything crazy happens in our town, you know, that's, you know, they all come together and they all get things that make things happen for us. So we're very, very blessed for that. Thomas.
I would have helped with snow removal. Kelly told me I was stupid, so he wouldn't let me.
Okay.
Kidding. It's been, with the cold temperatures, a lot of times when we have runs, it's not a big deal. This year has been extreme. The other way, it's been extremely cold. We found that anything that's plastic on our trucks in sub-zero conditions tend to break very easily, like emergency lighting on the sides, turn signal lights, plastic on our saws, on our equipment, anything that we do outside with this equipment in sub-zero temperatures, our stuff is just breaking like crazy. So when we get back to station, it's a whole day of going through, see what we have broke and getting things ordered and replaced and repaired. That seems to be consuming us this year. I'm sure everybody else is running into the same scenario, that anything that's plastic does not do well in cold. So that's been a big pivotal thing for us this year. The other thing is training has been going crazy with my guys. We've sent numerous guys to several fire trainings. We've got three guys in EMT training. I've got a couple more guys starting some other types of training. They're going to be starting up this weekend. Training has been a big push, and that's awesome. I don't mean that to be on a negative side, but that also takes away some of my manpower on the volunteer and full-time side while all those guys are training that I've got to make up for. So I always will send people to training. I love it to see people get it, but it does cause a bit of a burden. The other thing that I would say is here in the near future, I will be getting the council a draft of an ordinance on a Knox box. Marsha volleyed the ball into my side of the court, and I have yet to take care of that. And so that's my fault, not Marsha's. But as I had mentioned before, we will be bringing a Knox box ordinance to you to review. I will get that done, Marsha. That's my commitment.
Questions of Tom?
Marsha.
In your Dropbox, there is the revised advanced training policy, the reimbursement policy, and also I prepared a notice of the reimbursement for Rosie to use to provide the notices. I don't know if yours came up the way mine did, but that's not the format it really looks like. Anyway, you'll see the changes that I put in to exempt the public safety and to add a hardship provision and a provision for providing notice. That it can be withheld from last wages, that type of thing. So that's what's in there.
Okay. Rosie?
Mark asked that I report about the father-daughter dance that I went very well, and they had, I think, 500 to the max. And wanted to thank Danny, Ben, myself, Tom, his family, and all the others that helped tear down, said it really made a difference. And he wanted to thank Kelly for going out there and putting some sand down since the county didn't have any. And Melinda and Andrea and the park employees. It was, I mean, I don't know how they do it. It's just amazing. And Gary and Heather Parrott for all the food that they prepared. And the baseball and softball registration's underway. It ends on March 1st for baseball and March 15th for softball. And did get our final approvals back on the budgets. Unfortunately, Kelly and Tom and Tim had to make quite a bit of cuts, and Mark. But we've got it all done, and hopefully enough to operate this year. But did a lot of switching of where some of the expenses were coming from. But that's it.
So they cut our rate, or they just slashed it?
Well, you know, reestablishing those CUM funds kind of hurt a couple of them. I mean, it made it good for part of it, and then hurt them in their operating budgets. But that and the fact that we only got like $100,000 additional, and by the time you add it on wages, bonuses, insurance, all that stuff, it ate up it all. So we had to just kind of scrounge around and do some cutting. But the guys were very helpful and went through their budgets. Not that they really wanted to, but they did.
You're right, we did, Rosie.
Yeah. So.
Jackie.
Nothing.
I have nothing. Ben?
Nothing.
Nothing. No. Audience. And I move that this meeting is adjourned.
Yes.
Dan, that was awesome.